On Daf Chav Dalet, even though it's on Chav Gimel Amud Beis. Arusa, let's start again at the Mishnah. Arusa v'shomeret yavam lo shotot v'lo notlot ketubah. We know basically the rule is that wherever a woman cannot be shota, and it's her own fault that she's not shota, it's her own fault that she was goremet latzma by going ahead and being nisteret after there was a kinui, that now since she has no way to drink, so it's her loss and she loses the ketubah. As we'll see in cases where the husband is at fault, so he says, he decides, I don't want to be mashke you. Or he went and did an isser by sleeping with somebody, which makes it impossible for him. That's his fault. So then she gets the ketubah because he was gore. So in this case, the arusa v'shomeret yavam, they cannot be shota, we'll see, because of the pasuk. But they're also lo notlot ketubah because she shouldn't have been nisteret after kinui. And therefore, she's included in the din of sota, which we'll see how we know. And she's not included in the din of shtiyah if she's a sota. And so Mamela, in this case, she's going to be stuck with Arik Tuba. Shenema, what is the basis of this? Asher tista isha tachat isha. It's only in a case where a woman is tachat isha that she becomes now the sota who drinks. And this is the Torah Takana'ut. She is not an isha tachat isha, you see? I mean, she's not living with him if she's an arusa, shomeret yavam. And therefore, prat arusa, v'shomeret yavam. One of the interesting questions, of course, that is, would be raised over here, it's a machloket whether a shomeret yavam that was mezaneh, is she asura on the baal or not? Remember, we discussed this earlier. If you hold that a shomeret yavam shezinta is muteret to the yavam, so then what's the problem over here? Why would she lose her ketubah? She's muteret for him. So Rashi says we would have to say that she's mafsidah the ketubah because the yavam can say, I have no interest in an isha zonah who goes around sleeping with people. It's so promiscuous. What do I don't want to take such a person. In which case, she was mafsida herself. There's a machlokas in about it. That's Rashi's approach. Yeah, I think we'll try to keep it as simple as possible and then discuss other shitot afterwards. I don't want to confuse the issues here. Almana lekohen gadol, grusha v'chalutza lekohen hediot, mamzeret unetina liYisrael, ubat Yisrael lenetin. So in a case where we're talking about an Isur Lav, where the Torah has assered this particular marriage, where the Natin is the Givonim. And the Givonim were assered by the Beit Din of David. So it would be a Durabona. Tosfos always argues on this because he says that if they were from the Shiva Amamim, so then they would be Yasser Midiorite. That was the Machlokas. We've spoke about at great length. And the Ketuvot, we spoke about the issue of Yavamis, we spoke about the issue about whether this is actually an Isser of Chitun, the Chalon, the Givoni. But in any event, the Parsha is entirely referring to a woman who is a Ishto Haru'uyolo. Kitiste Ishto Izdavka Bru'uya Li'ishut. So these cases would not be included, and therefore she's not in these halachas, but nonetheless, no notot ketuvah, even though normally the Rabbanim did not say that a person who takes somebody be'isr, isr lav, does not have a ketuvah, as we saw back in ketuvot. In this case, since the stira now creates this isr on him, dioraita, even though she would have been ru'uya to him, so she can't get a ketuvah. In other words, this is even worse than a case where she was an isha kshera other than the lav over here. She's also a sota. So she doesn't get a ketuvah. Now, ha'omeret me'ani, the other cases where the woman is goremet, she says, I was tamea, she can't be shota. Edim come that she was tamea, she cannot be shota. She stam says, I don't want to be shota, any shota. So, omar ba'ala eni mashka, b'shaba'ala ba'ala ba'derach, not lot ketuvah. But when it is the husband's fault, so the husband doesn't want to give her, or the husband was over on the isra of sleeping with the sota by sleeping with her on their way to drink the water, which is an isra, so then he was already over. He cannot be giving her the water. So that's his fault. So why should she lose her ketuvah? She's claiming she's innocent. Beit Shammai omrim. How about metu ba'aleihem ad shaloshatu? How about if the husband dies? So he was going to be mashka, and now he never makes it alive to the Beit HaMikdash, to Beit Din. What happens now? So actually, what this is dependent on, I mean, what's going to happen is that the Yorshim of the Baal are going to claim, let her prove that she's innocent and take her ketubah. Because otherwise we have to go on the assumption that Torah asked her, she's not a ruuya wife, she would have lost her ketubah. She's claiming, no, I was innocent, and had I had the water to drink. So this is a pretty good case we have over here. What is it dependent on? We'll see later on. It's dependent on a very simple issue. Is a ktuvah, which is chal nechasim mishu'ubadim, where there are such nechasim, is it considered to be gavui already? Shtar ha'amed legvot, is it gavui or not gavui? If you hold it, it's the same din as gavui, in the sense that who is considered to be the rightful owner until proven otherwise? The one who has the she'ibud, so then she's the rightful owner. They have to prove that she was mezana. On the other hand, if you hold that the shtar ha'amed legvot, even from the chasim mishu'ubadim, still doesn't make you an owner, so then that means she has to prove her innocence. That's the machloket over here. And it's a machloket Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel. So Beit Shammai omrim, not lo ktuva, even though they can't be shotot, velo shotot. And therefore, because it's considered to have been gavui, Beit Hillel says, no, there's nothing to do. O shotot, which is obviously impossible, because there's no husband. But what he means is, well, you know, she could always drink if she can be Machayim Esim, her husband, and let her drink. But in other words, it's up to her to prove her innocence. The only way she could do that is by being shotat. So, o shotat, o lo notot ktuvatan. So essentially he's saying she will not be able to get the ktuva because she can't prove her innocence. Now, how about somebody who took mu'uberet chavero or meneket chavero? The halacha is that to enforce the same things that biology often comes to enforce in other species. So, Beitin, we created an isur of marrying someone's wife who is either pregnant or nursing, because since the new alpha male couldn't care less about the pregnancy, so he doesn't care about getting this woman pregnant, her losing her milk, maybe the baby dying if she's a meneket, or perhaps becoming now conceiving during pregnancy, rare though it is, but possible, and therefore perhaps destroying the fetus. And because of that, the Rabbanan assert that type of marriage. So somebody now who married a woman like that, what's the halacha? Says Rabbi Meir, lo shotot v'lo namdot ketuva. That is like the other cases of Isser, even though we don't list them all together, but that's because it's a machloket. So we wanted to set aside the upcoming cases, where there's multiple opinions. So Rabbi Meir says that's considered to be a woman who is not ru'uyalo, and because of that, you cannot be shota, and it's considered to be a case where there's an issur that can't be proven otherwise. V'chachamim omrim, not true. Yochol hu la'afrisha v'la'achzira la'achazman. Look, all he had to do, basically, is make sure that she doesn't get pregnant. So he could have given her a get now and taken her back. So you can't call that a woman who is not ru'uya b'chlal to be a wife. Ki tistei ishto. What are you going to say? It's not called ishto. She's a sur on him. That's not true. She's muteret on him. We just have to enforce abstinence. It's the only way we can enforce abstinence is by giving her a get temporarily. Okay, therefore, she's considered to be ishto, and she should be able to be shotot. Ilanit, how about in a case where a guy marries an ilanit, or he marries a zekena, who's already post-menopause, or he marries an einaru uya leleit? What is an einaru uya leleit? Rashi says it means to someone who is sterile through medical procedures. Tosus disagrees, as in what's it one included in Ilanit, so on all Akarot. But what it's considered is very, very interesting, according to Rabbeinu Hanana, which is, what's the point of mentioning separately Ilanit and Akara? So he tainas that there are cases where the assumption is that because of the lack of pregnancy, during a particular period, it's unlikely that she will conceive. So let's say someone who hasn't had a child until 40. So it's unlikely that she'll conceive. Her biological clock is ticking, as they say. Or someone whose husband died, and for 10 years she hasn't had a husband. So all of these cases are considered to be einu ruya leleit. In the case where the husband was still mechuyev in period of arivia, so then that's like taking an ilanit, because he's supposed to make sure that he's able to take someone that he would be able to be part of a rava with. And therefore, these cases are lo not lot ktuva, the lo shotot, because she's not supposed to be married to her. Says Rabbi Eliezer, what do you mean he's not supposed to get married to her? Why can't he just take another woman to get her pregnant? So you can't call that someone that is not ruya. You're saying, but under the circumstances. No, under the circumstances. So change the circumstances. So the same way that you said before, it's considered to be ruya leisha asher tistei ishto. This is also considered to be a proper wife, and it's asher tistei ishto. Vishar kol anashim, but all other cases, it's basically up to them, either oshotot, So then Tosfos says, well, yes. If a woman says, Eini Shota, I already said that. It's up to them. Eini Shota. So then if she doesn't want to drink, let her not be Nota the Ketuvah. What's it adding over here? That you're saying an absolute klal where you've already said all of the cases that the klal includes. So Tosfos says, no, there is a case we didn't talk about. The case we didn't talk about is Havchana. Havchana means a woman who lost her husband or got divorced. She may be pregnant, right? We make a halacha in order to just keep Yichusim straight, because otherwise, how are we going to know whose kid, the possible, if she turns out to be pregnant, whose kid it is? Do we know whether it's the first one, that it's a birth that takes 9 months, maybe it's the second one, it was a birth that took 7 months? So we have this halacha that you're supposed to wait 3 months before taking a woman after the death of husband or the divorce. She didn't wait. That is what it's referring to over here, because why is it different than the case of somebody marrying another man's pregnant woman? Because over there, the halach is we will be motzi in order to save the fetus or save the nursing baby. So since we're being motzi, that already, I could say, is not considered to be a kosher wife. That was the machloket. But over here, b'di'avad, there's no din of being motzi. And therefore, it's coming to say, even that case is included among the women is oshotot, onot lo ktuvah, brilliant solution to what appeared to be a redundant phrase in the Mishnah. Eshet Kohen, Shota. Why not? We'll see in the Gemara. I mean, what would be the Havamina? So she's Shota, and she's Muteret Lebaala. That is sufficient to be Mater to her husband. And Eshet Saris is also Shota. So that even though he is now, here's a little bit of an interesting question. The halacha is that the husband had to have slept with her first before the lover did. But if the lover starts, because it says be baladei sheikh, so then the whole thing doesn't apply, as we'll see later on. Therefore, Rashi learns that it's talking about, if the guy was a soris, then how could he, then that means the lover was the first one to sleep with her, because he anyway is castrated. So it's got to be talked about, he was nistaris afterwards. But obviously, other Rishonim disagree with that, because soris could mean stam, that he drank kosher likrin. Not that he couldn't sleep with her. So Mamela could be referring to any source. Okay, but again, we'll see when we get to the Gemara. Now, when we say that a man can be Mekana his wife, can he be Mekana his wife from her own relatives? Or is Mekana his wife from somebody that he's Chayshish, as a lover, but that wouldn't be Asura on her, even if he had been the husband? Says the Mishnah, no, you can be Mekana. Husband can be Mekana. You can be Mekana from any Erva, except for chutz min hakatan, that's not called a proper kinui, and chutz min misha eno ish. You can't tell your wife, I don't want you hanging around the horse. Now, you may think pretty bad things about your wife, but that's not considered to be a properly formed kinui. So it only is chal if it's an ish, because the Torah keeps referring to ish, a man be baladei sheikh. Fine. But a katan is not an ish. Now, what's the pshat? A katan is not an ish. A katan is not an ish in the sense that, what, he can't sleep with her? So the Rambam says that ain't a chinami. The Chiddush over here is talking about not a katan in terms of bar mitzvah, but a katan in terms of defining the nature of intercourse. We saw that we define the nature of intercourse as a child who is 9 years of age. And that anything less than 9 years of age, we're not saying he's not physically capable of penetration. We're saying that that's like sticking a finger in. It's not. It does not have a din of intercourse. Fine. So if that's the case, then it's simply telling. That's how the Rambam learns. That we're talking about a katan in the sense that he's less than 9 years old. Rashi learns it means it's not bar mitzvah. We'll see in the Gemara. Ve'elu she'beit din mekanin la. Cases where the beit din can take the place of the baal and give her kinui would be cases where the husband had been initially the husband, now he's mitcharesh, so he no longer has das to be mekana, or he's going mad. Nitshtateh. Oshaya chavush bebeit ha'asurin, he's simply inaccessible. He's languishing in a jail somewhere. So if Beit Din sees that this woman is getting into trouble, and people are talking about her and so on, they can take the initiative to asur her and say, we warn you not to be nisteret with somebody. Lola hashkota amru. This is not to be able to be mashker as a sota, because that's all the time it says baalech. But, the paslamik tuvata, yes.
The reason that we would not be able to actually be mashka, this woman, whose husband is incapable of doing the kinui, is because even if, ultimately, the husband gets better, it won't help. We know that it has to be the husband who's going to be mashka, because it says, ve'yivya yishat ishto, which Beit Din is not. But even if the man would get out of jail, it still would be impossible for us to be mekana in a way that would allow him to be mashka for a very simple reason. And that is that the Torah puts together these psukim of the kineyat ishto and ve'yivya yishat ishto, which means that only in a case where he himself was the mekana is it also possible for us to do the hashkaya, for him to bring her for the hashkaya. Mashen kein, if he never did the kinui, then he would not be able to bring her for the hashkaya either. On the other hand, Rabbi Yossi Omer, aflash kotat, even where Beit Din, were the ones who were mekaneh, lekishi yetzei ba'alami beit ha'asurin, yashkena. It is possible for a kinoi of a Beit Din to actually work for hashkaya at the point that the husband would get out of prison, or he would recover from the charashut, from his being unable to hear or speak, or from his insanity. He would then be able to be mashka, because Rabbi Yossi does not hold of the connection between the v'kineyat ishto and v'hevi ha'ishat ishto. Says the Gemara, we learned in the Mishnah that Arusa and Ashomeret Yavam are not shotot. Okay, but we also learned that they're mafsid their ktuva, because apparently in having been nisteret after a kinui, that kinui was sufficient now to aser them and make them lose their ktuva. Now the question is, how do we know that? Mishtahi delo shatya. What we're saying is that they don't drink, but hakinui mekaneva. They do, however, have the state of a sotah that's defined by being nistarot after kinui. And the question would be, mina animile, what would give you the idea that we could have that type of intermediate state, that you can be mekana, and that they would be nesarot, but that there would be no way to be mevarer whether, in fact, they were innocent or guilty. The Tana Rabbana, it says in the Torah, daber al b'nei Yisrael, the amarta. Now, what is the amarta? You can just say, daber al b'nei Yisrael, and then say what it is to be daber. So the amarta alehim is an additional ribui, the amarta alehim. And although Rashi at one point says v'amarta aleihem, it's the two words together. At other times he has v'amarta. The Bach does change it to v'amarta aleihem. But in any event, it certainly would have been sufficient to daber b'nei Yisrael, or you could say v'amarta or daber b'nei Yisrael alone, and just say. Since it adds v'amarta aleihem, that is coming not to be marba, a case that is not self-evident, and that would be coming l'rabot arusa v'shomeret yavam, that both the arusa and the shomeret yavam are included for kinui, so that even though they're not shotot, they can definitely be included in the kinui. Umatnitin mani, now this approach, that an arusan shomeret yavam both are not shotot, actually is the shita of Rabbi Yonatan, but not Rabbi Yoshia, the Tanya. It says in the pasuk, v'at, v'im, rather, lo satit tumah tachat ishech, hinakimi mehamorim. So tachat ishech means that we are only talking to a woman who is tachat ishech, meaning that she is living there with her husband, lives in the house with him. Now that's prat la'arusa. That would mean that someone who is only arusa to be married under the chuppah but has not yet gotten there, she certainly is not tachat ishech, and therefore it excludes the arusa. Now, yochol shani motzi af shomeret yavam, you might think that we should also exclude the shomeret yavam and that she would not be able to be shota the mayim as well, because after all, she's not tachtav. Talmud lomar, therefore, comes along the pasuk to include the shomeret yavam. Obviously, this is not like our Mishnah. To include the shomeret yavam, where does the Torah include the shomeret yavam? Ish, ish, kitiste, ishto. To tell us that the shomeret yavam is also included, and we have two different types, an ish, who would be married because of his own marriage, and an ish, ish, the other ish, one who is married only by virtue of his being the brother of the one who was married, and now the yibum is waiting for him. So this is the opinion of only Rabbi Yoshia. And obviously our Mishnah does not agree with Rabbi Yoshia. Rabbi Yonatan Omer, Rabbi Yonatan says, now look, first of all, I disagree with the assumption that if we only had one miut, we would use that miut for the arusa and not for the shomeret yavam. I say just the opposite, that actually if the Torah says tachat yisheich, the one that is least likely to be included in tachat yisheich is a shomeret yavam. Prat the shomeret yavam, and we'll see what the machloket revolves around in a moment. So a shomeret yavam will not be shota, because she's certainly not with her husband in any way. I mean, she's not even really connected to her husband. She's connected to a guy who may become her husband, but she's certainly not tachat yisheich. So, you might think, now I also disagree about another thing, says Rabbi Yonatan. I don't agree that the Ish Ish is coming to be Marbe, one of two possible cases, Arusa or Shomer Yavam. And therefore, I also continue to say, you might think that we should only be Motzi the Shomer Yavam. Aha, the opposite, of course, of what Ryoshia says. You might think we should only be Motzi the Shomer Yavam, and not be Motzi the Arusa, Velotzi et Arusa. Talmud Lomar, therefore, it continues to say, Asher tiste isha tachat isha. This would have to be Davka. And this is not tachat ishech, but tachat isha, which is continues on later on in the parasha of Sota, where it adds also tachat isha, so that there's not only the im lo satit tachat ishech, but there's also asher tista isha tachat isha. That comes to tell me, prat la arusa, that an arusa is also excluded. Neither of them will be shotot the mayim hama'orim. But you can be mekana them, that I know from Daber al B'nai Yisrael, v'yomar ta'alehim. Now, obviously, the machloket here is, first of all, about which one is more considered to be a real wife, tachat isha. So Mar, Rabbi Yonatan, he clearly believes, alimale arusa. He believes that an arusa is closer to being a tachat isha, or tachat ishech, the first miut, than the shomeret yavam, and she is most likely to be excluded. Why is that? The kiddusha didei. Because, after all, he was the one who personally was mekadesh this woman, and so she is close to being a wife, a complete wife. He did the first stage of the wife, Hashem came, the Shomeret Yavam. He had absolutely nothing to do with her marriage. It's just by virtue of an accident that her husband died, and her husband is his brother. And now the Torah has insisted that he go ahead and do the Yibam. So she's not even similar to a Takat Sheikh. So the Arusa would be more likely to be included than the Shomeret Yavam, first of all, because of that. Secondly, she's really married. This is so clean al yado. If she would be mizana as an arusa, I mean, there are cases where you can even get skila with an arusa. And therefore, there's real marriage here now. It's true that it's not a real marriage in the sense of allowing them to be living together as man and wife, but heck, it's about as close as you can get to a real marriage. Remember that a shomer yavam is mizana. Certainly there's no iser of mita. There's not even an iser of karet. It's an iser lav. Pretty persuasive argument. On the other hand, Rabbi Yoshia Sfora is, Mar says, Alimale Shomeret Yavam, he believes that Shomeret Yavam is more connected into the idea of Tachat Yisheich, and she would be included in that, and the Arusa would be the one that was excluded for another reason. Tachat Yisheich means that she is now sexually available to a man. Tachat Yisheich, under your husband. And if that's the case, the Shomeret Yavam is indeed more available than the Arusa. Because the Arusa is not meant to be slept with until after the Chuppah. Masha Inkein, the Shomeret Yavam, does not require a Chuppah, and all that's required is the determination to sleep together. So therefore, he says, the Shomeret Yavam is likely to be included, not excluded, from Tachat Yisheich, because Lo Mechasur Mitzira L'Chuppah. The Yavama is open right now to Bia without Chuppah, and therefore she is Tachtav, more than an Arusa is. Okay, but meanwhile, Rabbi Yonatan, of course, has managed to include both of them because he got two psukim, but he hasn't addressed what does he do with the pasuk that Rabbi Yoshia had to include the ish ish, that one of the two cases is included. I mean, certainly bringing two psukim to exclude means that you've got to be doing something else with the ish ish that's including either the arusa or should be including the shomeret yavam. Which one? What does he do with that ish ish? My avidla, according to Shita, holds that even a shomeret yavam and an arusa both are not shotah. Answers the Gemara, he uses the Ish Ish to tell me something entirely different. He says that's coming to include women where the husband is not in a position to be able to do a kinui. That in fact, kinui can be done, but it can be done by the Beit Din. So the Ish can be kona, the Ish Ish can be kona, meaning the one who would represent the husband, that is to say the Beit Din, who now stands in his place. And who are these people? People that had initially been fully married and then are no longer legally capable of marriage, so that you have an eshet cheresh, so he can't create a kinui, because he doesn't have, in having now gone deaf and dumb, he doesn't have the das to effectuate a kinui, an eshet shote, who also does not have that, and even an eshet shiamum, even a person who is weird, and he is not really capable of concentrating, he may not be a shote completely, but he's mishuamam, when it comes to being aware of what his wife is doing and being able to respond to it. And in these cases, there is still a kinui possible because Beit Din will be mekana for them. Now, The question, of course, is the other side, because Rabbi Yoshia has never explained what he does with the second pasuk of Takat Ishah. He learned, yes, that Takat Isheich, that is a miyot, he says, but it's a miyot of the thing that is least like a wife, which is the Arusa. But what exactly would he do with the additional pasuk, which Rabbi Yonatan uses to exclude the Arusa? Well, he would say, says the Gemara, we're going to see later on in the parak that we use this pasuk to teach me that if she is a suma, she cannot drink, and a chiger and a gidein cannot be mashke, and we compare the two of them. In other words, if either of them are in the case that would exclude the other, let's say the woman has to clearly be able to speak because it says ve'amrahi isha. So, I mean, if she can't speak, even though she may be legally responsible because she can hear perfectly well, so there's no way she could say amen, amen. But what about if the husband cannot speak? He doesn't have to speak. Ah, it comes along the pasuk now to compare the two. We'll see the details of the drasha later. But the idea is that the tachat isha makes her the equivalent of the husband and the husband the equivalent of her. So we now have accounted for everybody's basis in Sfara and in the pasuk. The question is, what would we have done without these psukim? Let's consider for a moment. Ela taima. You're saying the reason that an arusa cannot be shota is only because the chtive hanikroi. The only issue is that these psukim are here. But if not for that, halav achi, there would be every reason to believe, hava mina, from our own simple svara, that an arusa could be shota like any other sota. But there's a big problem with that assumption. Because akiyata rabacha bar chanina midaroma, when rabacha bar rabbi chanina came up from the south, he came up carrying a satchel full of braitot, so to speak, and he brought one along, which was ran as follows. He brought along a braita in his hand to teach. I don't mean literally that it was written, obviously. And the braita said, let us be medayik. The words in the pasuk. It says, the Kohen shall make her swear by telling her, v'yitenish bachet shechofto mi baladei ishech. A man has slept with you, a man other than your husband. What does that mean, other than your husband? It means that your husband has definitely slept with you, right? Which would imply that the only woman who can be a sota has to fit into the category of a woman that a Kohen would be able to say that to. In which case, only where the husband had indeed first slept with her, and not in a case where the husband had never even had an opportunity to sleep with her before this other guy has elbowed his way in the boel. And therefore, I mean, if we're talking about an arusa, we're talking about a shomer yavam. I mean, an arusa, generally speaking, I mean, he's not her husband yet. They weren't supposed to have been sleeping together. And until the chuppah, which hasn't happened, talking about an arusa. So anyway, without the pasuk, there'd be no way that she could be shota the water, because there's no way that the Kohen could say to her, mi baladei isheich. Why then do we need the pasuk of tachat isheich or tachat isha, which we brought before, of Rabbi Yonatan and Rabbi Yoshia, to be mamayit? Oh, my Rami Bar Chana, let's not be naive, darling. Mashkachat la, k'don shabana, arus bebet aviyah. I mean, what's the problem? Can we not be discussing a case where, in fact, the Orus had actually slept with her in Beit Aviyah? So, now obviously, that was done biznut, says Rashi. It could certainly have been done as an Arusa in Yehuda, where they even gave opportunities for that. And we saw why that happened in Ketuvot, and the problem of the hegemon that would take a virgin out from under the chuppah. But in any event, I mean, it certainly is not the normal way that you would expect things to be done. And the Torah is coming to say that, look, in a case like that, you might think that indeed she would be able to be shota as well if he had gone ahead and been mekanela. Kamash malan, because in that case he could say, bibaladei sheikh. Kamash malan, there's this other problem of tachati sheikh or tachati sheikh, and therefore she's not included. Okay, says the Gemara, you claim that that's the situation. That's all very nice to explain the case of the Arusa. I'd like you to explain the case of the Yavama now. Because the Kavata, in other words, the parallel case in the Shomeret Yavam, Gabi Shomeret Yavam, would have to be, and there too we would need that the Yavam had slept with her, because otherwise she would have been excluded anyway from the Mibalade Ishev. We don't need the Tachat Isha. So if that's the case, the Shomeret Yavam, we'd have to say, is talking about a parallel case where he had actually slept with her after the brother had died while she was still hanging out the Beit Chamiya. So we'd be talking about Kigon Shabala Yavam. Husband died, brother, in other words, died. The surviving brother goes to the family home where she is awaiting the the Yibum, and it makes more sense here, perhaps, as we see in the Rishonim, to have the Gerus of a Beit Achiv, and not the Beit Chamiya. She wouldn't necessarily have been Beit Chamiya, but in any event, in other words, he went ahead, and before doing the whole, I don't know, ceremony and calling people together, he just slept with her. Problem is, that's not called a Shomeret Yavam anymore, my dear friend. A Shomeret Yavam Karitala. You are going to call a woman like that who's basically gone through evil. Well, you may say, well, what about ceremony? And, well, ceremony, no ceremony. Did she sleep with a Yavam? Then she's not a Shomeret Yavam. She is a full-scale wife. Ishto ma'al yatahu. There's no way to call such a woman a Shomeret Yavam that is not Shota the Mayim. She is a full-scale wife, and she would drink, because after all, did not Rav say in Yavamot that the idea over there is that if, in fact, he's Ba'aleha, even though he's Ba'aleha Biznut, it says Abal Yavimto Ben Meshogi Ben Mezid, which means over there that he does it for other purposes, that doesn't make any difference. The point is, says Rav, Kana, and the meaning of Kana in the Mishnah, says Rav, is Kana Lakol, for every possible halacha. Let's say that he's a Kohen. She would eat Truma. He would be Yoresher if she dies. He would be, if he's a Kohen, he would be Metamela. He does not require, she does not require Chalitza if he wants to get rid of her. She only needs a get. So then he would be Mashkaher like any other woman. Why in the world are you calling her a Shomeret Yavam? And why in the world are you claiming that she's being excluded from the Pasuk? There's no such thing. Now, even if it's talking about a case where the Yavam was Baalel without Edim, where Lechora, says Reb Tivega, she would be called not a real Yavama, and nonetheless it was Kodma Biata Baal Boel. And he says, if there were no Edim, so then we cannot really say that he was Baal and she wouldn't be drinking Misafik. So we can't learn that it's talking about that there were no witnesses. We must have witnesses, or the whole discussion would be moot. We also cannot say, Sereb Kivega, that it's talking about that he slept with her, let's say, two times, each time in front of another witness, where over there's no kinyan, because you need two Aden to make a kinyan together. But Legabi, the din of Shrivat Abal, we would be able to put these two Aden together, because they're both being made on this, the same fact that there was a Baal. For that, we could say that since a Sota is equivalent to the din of Fashat, the Aden would have had to see it together. Okay. That's an interesting discussion, a little bit of a side point here. But the idea is that we can't come up with an explanation of why we would have called her a Shomeret Yavam, according to Rav, and not an Isha. Well, says the Gemara, that's very true. What we'll have to say is that if the Mishnah is going to be Mayet, a Shomeret Yavam, from a Pasuk, and not just the Arus from the Pasuk, then it's got to be going Aliba de Shmuel. And it would be Kishmuel de Amar, when the Mishnah there said in Yavamot, that he was Kona, even though he was Baalei Abba Mezid, meaning Biznut, that he was Kona, it's true, but vis-a-vis which halachot? Lo kana ela ledvarim ha'amuri b'parasha. The only halachot that he was Kona, her, was in terms of the dinim of Parashat Yivum itself. He was Bekani Yavama Yavoaleh, huh? And in that sense, it's okay to just give her a get, and you don't require chalitza. You will be, in that case, Yoresh, the dead husband. But as far as her being a real wife, in terms of being Machel, Truma, and certainly to be Matanala, whether it's a real issue, Dioraita, and to be Yoresh her, and so on, there she is not considered a wife, and therefore we're going to call her a Shomeret Yavam, who is not Shota. Now, the reason that Shmuel would hold that she's not considered to be a real wife is because the only way that we know that a Yavama, you can be Kona without even desiring for have a kinyan ishut, you're just sleeping with her for fun, it's from Yavamo Yavo Aleha Ulekacha, meaning that the bi'ah is defined as lekicha. But that special halacha is only nogea the inyonim in which it occurs. It's a big kiddush, and it occurs in Parshat Yivum. So those things that are mentioned in Parshat Yivum, Yerusha, Pitur from Yivum, the Chalitza, and the ability to just give a get, those things, and only those things, are implied. So now it would appear that we're saying the Mishnah is not going like Rabbi Yoshia, because the Mishnah is excluding two things, both the Arusa and the Shomeret Yavam. Okay, that's one. And not only that, but we're also going to have to say that the only need for the Mishnah and its diyuk of Tachat Hisheif would be according to the Shita that holds, namely Shmuel, that she isn't considered to be his wife, because otherwise it makes no sense. The Mishnah can't be talking about a case where she is his wife. By the way, I'm sure you're troubled by the question of the Tosfot HaRosh, that according to Rabbi Yonatan, he said all along you need two separate psukim, one for a Shomer Devarim, one for an Arusa. Whereas the Tan and the Mishnah can't have been learning like Rabbi Yonatan either, because he learns only one pasuk, Tachat Isha, and he doesn't bring the Tachat Isha at all. So how to explain that it's going like Rabbi Yonatan, by the way? So he explains that the important thing is here that the Tana does not hold Rabbi Yoshia. That is actually Marba Shomer Yavam. He holds like Rabbi Yonatan, that's Memayet. Where he learns it from is not that relevant. He also says that it could well be that the Tana of the Mishnah also agrees that you're going to need the second pasuk of Tachat Isha. But, I mean, he wasn't going to sit around and give you every drush in the middle of a Mishnah. Once he's established the principle that Tachat, the husband, whether it's Tachat Isha or Tachat Isha, is exclusive, so he figured you'd understand yourself. And to some of the Tosfos Yivara that he brings, they say this terms. Now, that would mean, however, says the Gemara, an extremely strange thing. Because you would now be saying that Rav really has to hold of Rabbi Yoshia, because otherwise the Mishnah is going to show him to be wrong. And it means that the Machloket of the Amoraim, Rav and Shmuel, is essentially completely dependent and completely defined with the pre-existing Machloket and Rabbi Yoshia and Rabbi Yonatan. So Rav, therefore, would hold of Rabbi Yoshia, that we can now talk about a case where he was Ba Aleha Bevet Chamiha, and that's the only possible case, but in that case, she would be Yishtalach Dovra anyway. So it cannot work out Rav like Rabbi Yonatan, because then how's he going to read anything in the Mishnah? Whereas Shmuel, the Amar, the Shmuel who says, after all, that you're only Kodif Advarim Amuri B'Parasha, in which case a Shomeret Yavam indeed is not a wife, in which case she's not Shota, that's working only Aliva Rabbi Yonatan, and not like Rabbi Yoshia, which is an extremely strange situation, to have the Machloket of the Amoraim dependent and just repeating essentially what the Tanoim are saying. Says the Gemara, this is a wrong conclusion entirely. Because Armalach HaRav, Rav can say there is absolutely no reason to say that I hold Dafka like Rabbi Yoshia. Ana de Amre, I would certainly agree, Afilu l'Rabbi Yonatan. I would have no problem, Kol Shekein, Rabbi Yoshia, yes, but I would have no problem to agree with Rabbi Yonatan as well. And the logic is this. I would say one has to look at the situation now that we do have these psukim, which is not the way you're looking at it. You're looking at it in terms of the Mishnah as it stands. But I'm saying, look, Mida Itzrich Kralami Uta. According to Rabbi Yonatan, we needed a pasuk to be Mimayat a Shomeret Yavam, and she's not Shota. Mashma, in other words, that had it not been for that pasuk, I would have said that she would be Shota, no? So Michlal, that I'm right, on the contrary, that the Ishto Malyatahi, that actually, were it not for the fact that this marriage was achieved, Dafka, through a Yibum that was done, L'Shem Znut, and had it not been for that the third specifically Mamayat with this big Kiddush, I would have said that she would be Shota. Now, why is that? According to Shmuel, I wouldn't have thought she would be Shota. She's not his wife. And how could she be Shota? In other words, I'm saying that it proves the Ishto Malyatahi. That itself teaches you that now she is, in fact, clearly his wife, except that she's excluded from the Shtiya. Now, as far as the fact that Rabbi Yoshia it was Marba from Ish, that a Shomeret Yavam is Shota, which, according to Rav, would not be necessary if he's holding like Rabbi Yoshia. That part, anyway, we'll have to say is Lav Dafka, because otherwise Rav does not work out like Rabbi Yoshia. According to Rav, the reason that the Shomeret Yavam is Shota is simply because she's not like no different than any other woman. That part is Lav Dafka, says Rashi. It was only in Esmachta that he was learning it out from Ish. Because the fact is, even without the Ribui of Ish, the Sfora would have told you that she would be Shota, is what we're saying now, because she is entirely his wife. So actually, from Ish, he too learns that we have to be Marba, an Eshet Cheresh, and a Shota, that the Sanhedrin is able to, which we said Aliba to Rabbi Yonatan, that's really true. Aliba to Rabbi Yoshia as well. Now that's just an Esmachta of the Alma. And we were making it clear. Okay, now that's the simple pshat here, and that's the way Rashi learns. So it all works out, said Rav. This is a special Gzerat HaKatuv, works out even Aliba Rabbi Yonatan, and on the contrary, I would say that the idea here is specifically an indication that I'm right, and that she would be Ishto L'Kol Davar. We never really needed the Pasuk of Ish. That's obvious, because otherwise I never held of Rabbi Yoshia either, which you certainly were saying yourself, that was true. So, fine. That's from my tzad, okay? So I can hold like either. Shmuel is also able to turn around and say, excuse me, sir, you're claiming that I hold Dafka like Rabbi Yonatan, and that that's the reason that things work out over here, to be able to have two cases, which we can now be memayet. A shomeret yavam who is nadish tolo kol davar, which is only true, aliba shmuel, and you say that's the only way I can learn. I'm saying no, that's true, even aliba, the Rebbe Yoshia, and even though Rebbe Yoshia is saying that a shomeret yavam indeed now is included because of the yeshish, I say that's the point. Since the Torah had to be marba specifically, that a shomeret yavam does drink, michlal, apparently without that pusik, I would have said that she does not drink. Now explain that to me. How could she not drink if she is ishto l'chol davar? Obviously, she is not ishto. So it's the lav ishto hiklal for any other dinim besides the thing mentioned, which is exactly what I've been saying all along. And the only reason, therefore, that now the bottom line is that we would be marba her yes to bishota, is a grand chiddush akra because of ish ish, which comes to tell me that she is considered nonetheless, because of the fact that in terms of yibum she's considered to be his wife, so too in terms of shtiata sota she's considered to be his wife. Now what this means is that we're going to have to do a little adjusting in Shmuel as well about how Rabbi Yonatan understood, because now he's claiming that he can get along perfectly well and with Rabbi Yoshia. So therefore, we'll have to say that the fact that Rabbi Yonatan needed a pasuk of tachat yishech to tell me that Shomeret Yavam is eno shota is clearly lav davka, because now Shmuel is claiming that I would have known it on my own since she is not his wife anyway. So that, according to Shmuel, would have been an esmach to be alma the tachat yishech, because even without the miyut, I would have known she's not his wife since she's only his wife for dvar ma'amurim b'parasha. What then do I use tachat yishech? I use it to be ma'amayet yarusa. The tachat isha, which we had also, that's a Shmuel really is being used for the hekesh of Ish Lisha, exactly as Rabbi Yoshia said. So in other words, each one, both Rav and Shmuel, would have to say that the pshat, according to the Mandi Omar that they're saying they can go according to, is actually the same in terms of the drashot ha-psukim, the relevant psukim of the Ish Ish, or of the Tachat Yishech, as the other Mandi Omar said. And that despite the fact that the person in question, Mandi Omar in question, had brought a raya from that pasuk in a particular direction that seems to run counter to what I would have assumed I know intuitively, according to the respective shitas of Rav and Shmuel, that in actuality these were esmachto to make it simple on us, and in reality the limud is just from the svara, and the pasuk is needed in order to tell me exactly what their rival had claimed that it was needed to tell me anyway.
Arusa v'shomeret yavam lo shotot v'lo notot k'tuva. Shenemar asher tista isha tachat isha. Pratli arusa v'shomeret yavam. Almana lekohen gadol, grusha v'chalutza lekohen yot, mamzeret unetina leyisrael lebat yisrael lemamzer lenetin, lo shotot v'lo notot k'tuva. Ve'elu lo shotot v'lo notot k'tuva, ha'omeret t'meya ani v'shebo'o le'edim shi'i t'meya v'omeret eni shota. Omar ba'ala eni mashka, v'sheba'ala ba'aleh ba'derech. In that case, it's the Baal's fault. And there not lot k'tuva, because they're saying they're innocent, give me the water to drink and I'll drink. And therefore, they're not shotot, because the Baal doesn't give them what they take to k'tuva. Meitu ba'aleh ma'at shelo shatu, b'chayim ha'yomrim not lot k'tuva v'lo shotot, b'telel omrim o shotot, o lo not lot k'tuvatan. How about mu'beret chavero, me'neket chavero, lo shotot v'lo not lot k'tuva divrei Rabbi Meir? V'chachamim omrim, that's considered to be a valid marriage. Yocholu la'afrisha v'lachzira la'achazman. An islandit, as a kenav, a shen ruya lele, in where the husband is b'chuyah v'piriyah v'riviyah, shouldn't have married her. So that's not considered to be a proper wife. Lo not lo t'tuva v'lo shotot, so Ribli is, why not? Yocholu li'sa isha acheret v'lifrot v'lirbotimena. V'shar kol anashim, o shotot, o lo not lo t'tuva. Eshet kohen, shota, umetaret labala. Eshet saris, shota. And al yedei kol arayot bekanin chutz ben hakatan mimi she'eno ish ve'elu shebeidin mekanin la mi shenitcharesh ba'ala o nishtateh o shehaya chavush bebeit ha'asurin. When we say that they can be mekaner, we don't mean that they can be mashker. Lo lashkotamra ela leposla b'ktuvata. Rabbi Yossi says even af lashkota, of course we have to wait. L'kishyetzei ba'ala mibeit ha'asurin yashkenan. So you're saying now that the Arus and the Shomeret Yavam are going to lose their ktuva. Why? Because it was a kinui. Mishter lo shat. Our kinui mekanala. Where do you see that that's possible? Minanimile. The Tana Rabbanan daber al bnei Yisrael v'yomarta. That is l'rabot arusa v'shomeret yavam. Even They are included, but only Lakinui. Umatnitin mani, only Rabbi Yonatan. Because the Braita teaches that according to Rabbi Yoshia, indeed that mission is not true. Tachati sheikh prat la arusa, yocho shani motzav shomeret yavam tam lomer ish ish, divi Rabbi Yoshia to include shomeret yavam. Rabbi Yonatan mer, tachati sheikh prat la shomeret yavam. You might, and so first of all, the first thing to be botzi is shomeret yavam. Otsi shomeret yavam velo otsi arusa. Oh, we have another pasuk. Asher tista isha tachati isha. That is Pratla Arusa. So clearly Mara Limale Arusa. Why? Because it's Kedusha Dideh. Visuklina Yado. Umara Limale Shomeret Yavam. Why? Dolom Bechasa Mesir Lachupa. Now, according to Rabbi Yonatan, what about the Ish Ish, which was the Ribui Mayavidle? Mi Boile Le Rabot Eshet Cheresh Ve Eshet Shota Ve Eshet Shimum. Rabbi Yoshia, I Tachat Ishech Mayavidle. Okay, so time of the Ktzivei Hanikroi. Let's ask what would we have thought without the psukim. Halav achi ava mina arusa shatya. Or kiyatu revacha barchanina midarom atavati matnita biyade. Does it not say mi balade yishev? Which means that it needs to be shekod mashkivata baal aboel. Velo shekod mashkivata boel abal. Omer rami barchoma. Well, why can't the case be mashkachatla? Kegon shebo alea arus bebeit avia. De chavata gabe shomeret yavam. Kegon shebo alea yavam bebeit chamia. That's not possible. Ha shomeret yavam karitala. Ishto malyata yi. De omar rav kana lakol. Kishbo. De omar lo kana. Ela le dvarim ha'amurim b'parasha. Si hachi leima rav de omar krebiosha. Ushmo de omar krebionatan. Omar lecha rav anadam reafil rebionatan.
Thank you.